Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to another edition of Filthy Casuals, a video games podcast hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, filthy animals. My name is Ben Vanel, and joining us, rounding out the trio...
What's that I see over in the distance to the east? Why, it's the sun rising. Not like here, where the sun... sets.
That is bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That Japan gets to be the land of the rising sun. Mm. As if every other nation is just bathed in darkness. Does that maybe come from a... Did we not get the sun here until, like, you know, 1982 or something?
Yeah.
I guess so.
We got the PAL version as well.
Yes.
Yeah. The sun at a lower frame rate.
Always a big black border around it.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
Oh!
Mm. Very good. And they spelt UV wrong in the translation.
Oh, yeah. Spoony Bard, it said. That's from a game.
Nice.
Okay. Do you not get it?
Nah.
Well, I'm more of a Japan head than you are then.
Happy to give that up to you, buddy.
As in, my head looks like a red circle in the middle of a white background.
We're recording this in the middle of a goddamn thunderstorm.
Mm.
Yeah, we saw a bit of lightning before. We all got very scared.
Yes.
So, hey, maybe my building gets hit and this is how we go out. What a legacy.
If we had the sun over here in this hemisphere, we'd be less scared of light appearing in the sky. But that terrified me. This, as a land without a rising sun.
This could be like the first chapter of our JRPG. A dark and stormy night. Three boys trapped in an apartment.
I'll probably fall asleep during this and then wake up not knowing who I am.
I'll turn out to be Tommy's dad, I guess.
Yeah. Wait a minute. The terrorists were the good guys.
We're doing...
Oh! There it goes again.
There she goes again.
We're also worried about getting electrocuted while we record.
Yeah.
Being in the middle of a thunderstorm holding a bunch of electrical equipment is fucking terrifying.
Well, we saw an absolute ripper before and then Ben was like, hey, why don't you turn off all the other electricity in your apartment? Like, God forbid we cancel the podcast. The podcast needs to continue.
Absolutely.
Everything else has to be powered off immediately.
It's just a shame that this podcast has to happen live and we can't record it at any other time. Here on August the Swimmergith.
We're pre-recording this, so we had to put together a little, little theme for this episode.
Much like Japanese games used to always be, you're getting this a bit later than it goes. We're putting this out day of recording in Japan.
Yes.
But over in the West, it comes out a fair bit later.
Well, we've got to translate it into English for all the local listeners.
What language were we originally speaking?
We recorded it in Japanese.
Ah, yeah. Yes, the language we all speak.
So it's weird that we had this conversation originally in Japanese about a month and a half before people have heard it.
But, that's right.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Strange, I was confused.
Not for hello, hi for yes. Hello is polite Japanese for yes.
Let's leave the hi untranslated, shall we?
Yeah. That's Japanese for maybe.
Anyway, as I
so Malcolm in the middle goes, hi ho. That's probably only for me.
As I said in Japanese a couple of months ago when we recorded this, fuck me rooted. I'm looking forward to recording this conversation about Japanese video games. Ooh, big storm. Big storm. We put together a theme for this one. Little did we know, we could have easily just commentated a thunderstorm for an hour. That probably would have sufficed.
The theme being furniture.
Games with furniture.
Yes.
The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
The Sims 2.
Yep.
The Sims 3. Furniture simulator.
Very good.
The Sims 5.
The game in Bunnings Warehouse where you arrange your living room and paint the walls.
Yep.
that computer at IKEA where you look up what your product you want to get is. It's kind of like a game.
I was in there the other day.
Me too.
Got a bookcase.
I've been going a lot. I keep forgetting stuff that I need and having to make multiple trips in there.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
Got any vanilla candles yet?
Not yet. Oh. I love it in there though.
It's so good, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Adam?
Shelf bowling. Remember elf bowling?
I do.
I can think of any other game with the word elf or like chair or sofa.
Tabletop gaming is something.
Yeah. We're out.
We're out.
Japanese games. We did British last week and sort of the UK in general because I looked up after that episode because I felt bad being in Scotland and having gone like British games.
Yeah.
Yes. And not in England.
And what better time to do research than after we've recorded the episode?
Well, people listened last week and then they went, hey, I'm angry, but I'm going to listen for one more week.
Yes.
if there's not a corrections corner, I'll be fucking livid.
Yeah, on this Japanese-themed episode, they will definitely address the mistakes of the week before.
Rockstar North, a lot of Scotland-based.
Right.
And DMA Design before them. So, yeah, Lemmings and GTA, which we talked about last week, Scottish.
Right. Awesome.
Which is sick.
Yeah.
Did you try and track those guys down while you were there in Scotland?
Yeah, I found them. They were driving real dangerously.
and I off saw a cliff?
Yeah.
yeah, so we're going to do this in some kind of sections. We're going to talk about some games that have had a big kind of influence that have come out of Japan, that have influenced gaming and also kind of big popular series over there. We're then going to talk a little bit about some games that have never been released in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go through last year, roughly this time last year, the magazine Famitsu, big gaming magazine. Is it the biggest? It must be. Yeah, it's the big gaming magazine.
So. I don't know if it's particularly well respected in the same way that a lot of like IGN wouldn't be over here.
Sure, sure.
But I think it's the biggest one.
Right.
Well, last year they gave a 10... They gave perfect scores to Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey, which are both great games. But I was talking to someone about it and I was like, I don't know, I'm starting to feel like... Because with Breath of the Wild, I was like, okay, fucking great.
Yeah.
And then with Odyssey, I was like, yeah, I don't know. This is just, they've already given out a 10 this year. They're like, yeah, but, you know, they don't just do this lightly. Like, they've only given out 35 tens in the magazine's, like, 20-year history. It's like, that's fucking heaps.
Yeah. That's basically picking a game of the year every year.
And isn't one of them's for Nintendogs and there's, like, weird... And I think the consensus with Famitsu is that they can be bought.
Right, right.
Pretty handily. So, magazine. It is for sale in
shops. Sure. Yeah. Also, I wanted to say before we get too far away from it, if anyone from IGN is listening, hey.
I'm saying nothing about my opinion of IGN. I go to their reviews last. But no, like that's just the general sort of consensus you see from D-bags on the internet.
Sure,
the
sure. Yeah. If it's mainstream, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like IGN. I like their reviews.
I'm into it as well. Yeah. I like that they have short, concise reviews.
Yes.
And every review is a fucking opinion and people seem to have a real hard time dealing with that. And I think that's the difference with Famitsu is that a lot of the time they try to be a little more objective, which is like a very 90s way of reviewing stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
Do you remember how it always used to be like... The sound is this exact level, like they were reviewing a VCR.
Totally.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, so with Mario Odyssey getting like perfect tens across the board, it's like from a technical standpoint rather than like, but how does this actually make me feel?
Exactly, because Mario Odyssey, probably the negative parts of that are just like it doesn't feel quite there completely.
It doesn't have the same magic of something like Breath of the Wild.
It's forgettable. Yeah. It's real like it's chewing gum, you know?
But
like,
technically it was spot on, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for their 1500th issue.
Yeah, that's right, yes. 1,500th.
Yeah, which Tommy counted up to in his head.
I short-circuited. I think something happened in that thunderstorm.
Oh, yes.
I think I...
Swapped bodies with Lindsay Lohan.
Someone who's fucking way dumber than me. They got their readers to vote on the top 100 games of all time. Mm. What better way to celebrate 1,500 issues than by crowdsourcing your fucking content for this landmark event?
Yeah. Also, I think they should have done the top 1,500 games of all time.
That would be great.
It's the anniversary.
There's a few pages around 1,276 that might stay pretty clean from lack of turning to.
Or even 150.
Yeah,
like sure. At least get the five in there somewhere.
Especially yeah. if you're voting, like you're going to have those votes in anyway.
Mm.
You're going to have, if you're voting, if you're asking people to vote for 10, you're going to end up with 150
yeah.
options.
Yeah, yeah, why? Fuck this magazine. Why are we yeah. reading this list out? Yeah.
Think about your content a little harder. Now let's read out this list from a magazine.
But anyway, that's coming up a little later.
Oh, yeah.
But first of all, Adam's going to sell us a fucking great mop that he's here to tell you about.
Yeah. Thanks, Bert.
We are on.
Shame about your son.
We are on Good Morning Video Games. So
yes,
it's
yes.
kind of perfect.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the overall kind of history and influence of Japanese gaming. So I guess the very beginning of that is Space Invaders. The first big Japanese game, right?
Certainly in the West, at least. I'm not really sure about. In Japan, there's probably something else.
Sure.
Like, we have to say that we're obviously doing this from the perspective of people who... You two have been to Japan once.
Mm. Twice.
And I have...
Three times.
A weebo.
Japanese... But yes,
it's going to be three times a Japanese lady. So not even a geisha.
I was thinking on my feet. Yes, the Space Invaders was definitely a massive one over here. And like following up on sort of Pong and everything, which I believe was Western developed.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming over here. And like Space Invaders and like Pac-Man and Galaga and all those ones that were the arcade big coin shortage ones during the 80s. A lot of Japanese influence over here for them.
Yeah.
And created what a lot of people will think of as an arcade game, I guess.
Yeah, yep. Totally.
Because Street Fighter 2 then after that is... Japan.
Donkey Kong. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a lot of Western, like I guess a light gun game that might have come from the West.
Yeah.
But then Time Crisis and shit was Japanese, which totally. Is nowadays the ones you associate with it.
But then there's heaps of stuff being developed in parallel because there just wasn't that like freedom of knowing what was going on, you know, culturally in another country. I mean, I kind of do miss the days when... You know, it was like such a treat to find anything from another country. Like, you know, stuff like you just see this wild stuff that like where now everything comes out at pretty much the same time.
Yeah.
Box art is all the same, but we're just with different, you know, text on it. Like, remember seeing a Japanese NES or SNES box for the first time and being like, fucking hell.
The goddamn globalists are ruining our world. That's Alex Jones. I'm pretending to be there. I'm pretending to be Alexander Jones.
I thought it was Santa Claus.
You got for Christmas? A communist under your tree. Be careful, kids.
I thought it was Jack Nicholson.
Lock her up. Nicholson. I said lock her up.
Is he
Which
like,
is what Alex Jones used to say.
Oh,
he was doing it in a Jack Nicholson voice like you asked for.
I thought you were
I don't
saying,
know what the problem is, Tommy.
I thought the bit was that I didn't know, I thought I was learning something about Jack Nicholson, that he's anti-Hillary.
No.
But he's like old and fucked.
So I don't know what his political leanings are.
He likes the Lakers.
I imagine if he ever has to write down his political leanings to someone, it's like, everyone should have a good time, baby.
Sure.
It'd be something like real creepy like that. Like, I'm not going to get on his boat.
I guess my like when I think about gaming, I think basically about Japanese gaming. Like I think of the early arcade games from Japan.
Yeah.
I kind of think of Japan as inventing video games.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's true.
Like the resurgence of it for sure. Because Atari was a big, big, big early one, which is an American company.
Sure, sure.
And they did like all of the earliest shit up until the kind of crash in the early 80s.
Mm.
And then Japan brought it back.
It was the popularity of the NES that kind of brought it back. And they had to, we talked about this on a Bandcamp episode that we did, but they had to really fight to get it, to get the NES into America because no one wanted to stock it because they just had shelves full of these games that they couldn't sell.
Yeah.
And that's
they
why.
They were actually dumping them into landfill.
Yeah.
Japan like changed the level of quality across the board of video games, I reckon. Mm-hmm. And then. Yeah, same for me of like early memories at least. It was always Japanese games were good. Mm. Western games were usually shittier.
Same, I had this big weeb thing of like anything, not with a bit of a Japanese feel to it. I'm like, this can't be good.
Well, because it was always fucking like dumb side-scrollers. Like, oh, the crash test dummies are back. Nobody gives a shit about that dumb band. Mm. But
Well, so even though we're here to talk about Japan, just to deviate quickly, when do you think it is that more Western stuff starts to become like huge in its own right? Like kind of break out of the shadow of just being, you know, the Japanese kind of developers and influence putting it on the map?
I mean, there was always stuff.
Was id American?
Yeah.
Id and Epic, I guess, were around the mark.
Yeah.
The FPS games that they sort of developed.
In the early 90s, on the PC, everything was was Western, generally.
Yeah, sure. PC would have been the big one of like...
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Japan, weirdly, like...
Midway and all those.
The NES was the Famicom over there, and like the MSX was like a Microsoft thing, but it was basically a console, which is where the early Metal Gear games were. And they were all computers. In Japan, rather than them being consoles, kind of, they were more like Commodore 64 style computers.
Yep.
And the West had this concept of consoles more than them, which is so weird to me to think that, like, all the PC stuff was Western, and yet Japan had computers instead of consoles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, from when we went there, Ben, like, that's the thing I've always really liked about Japan is that it's like, it's I don't know, here. I guess it's to be fair, it has changed a lot in the last few years, but gaming, it's kind of been a bit of a like a nerd pursuit or whatever. And I think it still is kind of looked upon in that way.
In the West?
The West, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think that while you're hosting your Japan-focused video games podcast? What's nerdy about that? I'm afraid of the lightning.
Direct quote. You go over there and it just is a bit more kind of like embedded.
Absolutely.
In day-to-day life. Like you see businessmen just all on their 3DSs on the train.
Even
and shit.
Like phones. Everyone over there who was on their phones on public transport was playing games, it appears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's much more embedded in the culture.
And I'm sure it's a lot more, I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than that. I'm sure it's not as cut and dry as we make it. But it just as someone who's always been into that stuff, going there, it's like, oh, this is the promised land where it's just like readily available, and there's like there just seems to be a lot more kind of societal sort of people.
Maybe there's just fucking heaps of nerds over there. Maybe it's just fucking nerd central. Shibuya more like should fucking flush ya. Head
in
the toilet.
Did you mispronounce the place first?
Yeah, because I'm not a fucking nerd, man.
Oh, this is going down a path I do not want to be on.
Shibuya.
Shibuya!
Christ.
Every time you get to the station, you got to like, comment and subscribe. Shibuya.
It's not Shibuya.
Leaving Shibuya Station, next station, Brap Station.
I'm staying near Shibuya Station when I go there. So,
I think I am as well now.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I think I'm two stops from Shibuya.
Staying in a place called Banana House. Make a joke about that, smart guy.
I just told you I'm not fucking smart. I'm not a nerd cunt. The Japanese influence on early games is still... And like, because this list of influential stuff, is that what we're doing first?
Sure.
There's so much stuff in there that like is earlier than any of the games that followed it, obviously. But it's like...
Not smart, boy. You say.
Like stuff like Resident Evil 4, which is
on
this list.
I want to do the voice for the whole episode just to cover yourself.
If you fucking tell me what to do again, nerd. Like Resident Evil 4 and stuff like that, the level of invention and willingness to try new things and experimentation coming out of Japanese games seems to be, at least within before the last sort of 5 years, maybe more, when indie games have become a bigger thing in the West.
Sure.
But the level of invention and change and
they're all like trailblazers. Each one of them.
Totally. Yeah. And you can draw entire generations of fucking like with the 64 Mario 64 invented platforming in the way that it was.
Sure.
3D at least. And then every second fucking game in that generation was that style of platformer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4 came out, and then every second fucking game was Gears of War and these third person kind of shooter things like that.
Which I never realized until I was looking into this on the net that Resident Evil 4 was like the first one to do that.
Kind of.
Because I got onto it pretty late.
Yeah. It was like that and this weird game called Kill Switch, which had a cover system, and like Operation Winback, which I think was Japanese on the 64. There's like this weird lineage of these few games over like 5 or 6 years that all kind of did the same thing, but it's like 3 or 4 of them.
Because first person would have been so big at the time, right?
Yeah.
So to break away from that is like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And first person in the West has always been way bigger than in Japan.
I was about to say, spoiler alert for when we get to this hotly contested Famitsu list, I don't think I saw... any first-person shooters on there?
So there's a weird thing that I read about ages ago, and I've never, like, corroborated if it's true, but it makes sense to me, And I don't need facts if I feel it.
Okay, Alex but Jones.
No. Piss is stored in the balls.
The different, like one of the major differences between Western and Japanese games and why often Western games don't gel in Japan is the camera movement is a massive difference between the two. And like if you play a Japanese game, you'll kind of notice after you've heard this, oh, fuck, you don't move the camera that much. And they kind of try to avoid making you move it. It moves by itself and it's a more cinematic thing.
Or it's completely static.
Yeah. And in the West, we're happy to just move a camera around for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And first-person shooters is all moving the camera around. Like part of the reason you, Tommy, don't like them that much. And
well, I don't know that I appreciate words being put into my mouth like that.
As you said, Tommy, I'm a big idiot. I don't like first-person shooters. Bum, bum, bum. Me like a... whatever.
You. Yes.
Yeah. You said it like that. Anyway. Yeah. But apparently that's like a massive switch, which is why FPS games didn't work and why this Resident Evil 4 style of game kind of panned out over there.
Does Resident Evil 4 have like, is it cover shooting?
So not really. Yeah. Right. It's just like over the shoulder and like you to shoot have to stop and aim.
Ah, yeah.
That
okay.
was like a big difference between older third-person shooters, and that was that it kind of separated your movement and your shooting,
right?
And beyond making them on two different sticks, made it like it's the same stick, and you're in one mode or the other, which I think is like just a simpler thing to sort of deal with if motion on like a bunch of different axes at the same time isn't your thing.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, yeah, camera movement is like a big difference between Japanese and Western games.
Yep. That's really interesting. I never knew that. So yeah, do we want to go through... So some of the... I think some of the biggest series is perhaps kind of over there that have been, you know, also influential in gaming worldwide. Although some of these are just ones that I've picked out that I think their success over there is kind of interesting. Dragon Quest is a series that I'm kind of fascinated by. That people know it here, but it doesn't have anything close to the ubiquity that like a Final Fantasy does.
Yeah.
Whereas over in Japan, it is, I believe it's as big.
It's
not
bigger.
Maybe bigger.
I think like historically it's been bigger.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there's a game that I really enjoyed, Dragon Quest Builders, like a weird kind of Minecraft-y spin-off of it, which Final Fantasy doesn't seem to have.
Oh, it does.
It does, but
it's got a whole bunch.
It's got a ton of spin-offs.
It's got a heap, yeah. Final Fantasy Tactics is an early one.
I don't know if, other than that, people love that. I've never actually played that one, but most of them I don't think are at the level of quality that people seem to like.
Crisis Core was on the PSP, I think.
There were like some, a bad shooter.
Yeah, with Vincent from FF7. That Final Fantasy VII has had its own share of spin-offs.
Right.
And movies and all sorts of shit.
Well, yeah, I would love to get into the Dragon Quest series.
There's a new one coming out real soon.
Yeah, just
and it's the same.
By it.
Well, it's the same thing with Final Fantasy, where they're each different from each other, I believe.
Yeah.
So 11, you can just jump into.
Although I think Dragon Quest stylistically is consistent. It appears.
It's all.
I think so. Yeah.
Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Who does Dragon Ball?
That I love his style, which is a big part of why I'm drawn to it. And like so, playing. Dragon Quest Builders, which I know it takes its cues from the main games, but I kind of didn't realize to exactly what extent. I watched a trailer for a VR place in Japan, and one of the things that you can do is a Dragon Quest experience where it's like you're slashing your sword and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all the music and sound effects and shit that are in Dragon Quest Builders, and I was like, oh, cool, I'd probably love this because I know like just enough about the lore and whatever to like get by and have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
So here's a weird thing about Dragon Quest that I happen to know as well. You fucking nerds. Let me lay down a Dragon Quest fact. It was influenced by Wizardry, which is a Western PC game back in the day. I guess not even PCs. It would be like Apple II or something.
Right.
And Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy afterwards were both simplified versions of that. That a Japanese audience who didn't know about RPGs could get into.
Wow.
So the JRPG like that was originally influenced by the Western RPG. So this is one of the times when the West influenced the East.
Right.
And then it sort of came back over with their version, their like take on it. And when we get to that list, we're not going to do all 100 that are on that list, but Wizardry is at number 72.
Yeah.
Because it was a fucking massive game over there. And from a game from like the 70s.
Yeah, right.
Or early 80s to still be in people's minds for a top 100 voting list is fucking crazy.
You're right. We should have pointed that out earlier. We aren't going to do all 100 on the list, but what we are going to do instead is flesh it out to what the 1500 should have been.
Yes.
So yes. Strap in, guys. Bumper ep this evening.
Grand Prix racing number 2. Just because it has to be somewhere. Because
yeah.
There's only 1500 games.
Yeah. There's 1501 games. So we just got it's more about choosing which one doesn't go on the list.
Sorry, Hellblade.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, that's a Squaresoft game, right?
Squaresoft game from the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely influential. This is the one I think that kind of first introduced like kind of different endings and like a lot of the things that are now kind of tropes of JRPGs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like this.
The kind of like active battles rather than like a turn-based
yep.
sit there thing. The characters moved around the screen and jumped around,
yep.
which is kind of the default for JRPGs now.
Mm-hmm.
That like the time travel mechanics and the weird like you said, heaps of different endings and kind of a lot more open-ended in a way that than a lot of Japanese RPGs have been before.
Yep.
Japanese games, I guess.
Yeah.
Any games, anywhere.
Anything.
Dude.
You boys, either of you boys play this one?
Yeah.
As an adult, not as a kid. I didn't have the SNES, so I didn't play it then.
Yeah.
But it's I've never finished it either, right. So it's one that I want to set aside some time.
Do you like it?
For. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's great. It's one of those ones where it's that sort of culmination of all the... And it kind of... makes obsolete everything before it to some extent.
Sure, right.
Because it's kind of all the best elements of the genre put together in like, oh, fuck, of course, it should be done this way kind of way.
Yeah, and so you like in terms of 2D, JRPG.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even the 3D ones that came after and like the structure of it and the...
That's true.
The
storytelling.
The scope of it, like kind of every element of it is still... It holds up so much more than a lot of those 16-bit RPGs do.
Yep, that's fair. Would you pick that to be a HD 3D remaster?
I'm not sure I care.
Or remake, I guess?
It's one of those ones where, for me, it doesn't particularly need it. There's not like a big broken thing in it where it's like, oh, fuck, if they redid it with today's things, imagine how good it'd be.
I just think this area of 16-bit stuff looks so good. I don't want to see it turned into polygons and stuff.
Yeah,
because I'd like to see it tidied up and maybe if they did a bit of like an effect on it, like, you know, the kind of Octopath Traveler where they had like kind of, you know, 3D environments with these, you know, pixel art sprites over it, textures over it would look cool. But
see, I think I like them, how they look, but I also think, like, if they looked like Horizon Zero Dawn or God of War, I'd also like that.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, like, having a whole big fucking rewritten story with voice acting and all that sort of stuff, and so take that framework and bring that up to modern standards, maybe.
Sure.
But I'm not fussed, and I guess I'd rather see them just copy it and make a new thing.
Right.
Yep.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Beatmania and Dance Dance Revolution. So Dance Dance Revolution, absolutely massive. The arcade cabinets with the floor pads.
Oh, yeah.
And later sold as like a home kit with a little piece of shit, little plastic fucking tarp that you lay down on the floor.
Those things always look to me, I'm sure they had like rubber feet on the bottom or that sort of, but if you jumped on it, you would slip and kill yourself.
Yeah.
I've never used one.
Me either.
Not a home one, nah.
Yeah. I've had a crack at an arcade one a couple of times and just woefully embarrassed myself in front of everyone who's standing around. But yeah, the whole rhythm game genre starts with this.
What is the rhythm game genre? I don't know the whole rhythm game genre. What is it?
So
what's the rhythm game genre?
Your Guitar Heroes.
Huh?
Your
what?
What are you doing?
He just asked, you know your whole rhythm game genre, as though he wouldn't. And I do.
Okay. Great bit.
Yeah, I'm real glad about that one. Speaking of rhythm, I wrecked it.
I'm just mystified, honestly. Mystified.
No, I've been struck by lightning.
But yeah, like, yeah, Guitar Hero, all that kind of stuff, that all kind of starts with this.
Yeah.
I remember playing some Japanese arcade guitar game years ago. I would have been 13, 14, something like that. So before Guitar Hero or any of that had hit, going like, fuck, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like the Drum Mania stuff they had before, all of those rhythm games that they invented over there.
Yeah.
I guess apart from like Technically, playing the piano is a rhythm game.
Sure.
But sure. The actual video game versions, yeah, they created and was a massive fucking thing over here.
I'd love going to an arcade where they've had like a drum machine, drum mania machine for a very long time, and the sticks are fucked. The pads are all just like chipped away. There's like barely anything left with it. It's like, give it up. Like, put this thing out in the fucking hard rubbish. Yeah. Like, you're kidding yourselves. I went to a particularly like dank arcade in Hong Kong that was just full of just worn out fucked machines. Like, there's this, I should have looked up
what it is. Better than being full of worn out fuck machines.
Yeah.
Very good.
Worn out fuck machines, everybody.
That's me, dude. Tapped out. Too much. 31, hit my peak. I'm done.
Come mania.
Put me out to pasture.
Beat off mania.
Hey.
God.
There's this new one that's like...
Dance, suck my dick.
There's this new one that's just like a screen that you're standing in front of. It's a big touch screen and these kind of things are kind of flying out from the center of the screen and you got to like the point that you're meant to touch them at changes all around the wheel. It looks so complex but, yeah, everyone I saw playing it had gloves that they'd bought in with them because it's like, who wants to touch this fucking disgusting screen that just like is in this filthy arcade that like, yeah, all these people are standing there playing all day.
If everyone's wearing gloves though, then the screen isn't gross. So if you just
you
want
to be the one like in considerate cunt to be like, I'm getting it dirty.
Hey everyone, good thing you got the gloves because this feels smooth.
But it didn't look fun at all. It wasn't like a rhythm, you know, it was just like a rhythm for rhythm's sake. It was
you pretend to play the
key, but it's just like touch this bit of the screen.
Yeah.
I don't think there was even a song playing. It's just like, here they are, just anyway, touch these things. Bye.
Fuck.
I played Elite Beat Agents on the DS, which is kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Where you're just kind of tapping different bits of the screen, but the way that they design where you're meant to tap makes you feel a certain way with where you're doing it. You know what I mean?
That game's cool.
Yeah. And if you're extending your arms out the whole way, it's kind of like dancing with your arms. I'm dancing. I'm dancing. Don't stop me.
Phantasy Star Online. Either of you ever fuck with this?
No, sir.
This was like a Sega game that comes out well before online gaming is a thing.
I did read about that actually. Yeah.
Sort of. Well, online console gaming.
Console gaming.
But like Dreamcast?
Ultima Online and EverQuest and all that shit had already come out.
Yeah, that's true. But in terms of console.
This game was pretty big, pretty huge. They took a huge punt on this one. I want to know how it worked. Like, pretty early days of the internet.
Yeah,
how
the
fuck did it? Was it functional?
Apparently it was very slow.
Yeah, jacking your fucking dial-up modem into the back of your...
The Dreamcast had a little dial-up modem on it. It was a 28K modem that came attached to your Dreamcast.
Yep.
You just plug it into the wall. 3 days later, you've typed the letter Q. I think the way that it worked, it was kind of like Diablo more than... A bigger thing where you had like three other people you were with doing quests and whatever. So I think it was pretty smartly designed around the limitations of having a slow modem.
It's not a 64 person deathmatch or anything.
No.
Yeah.
It was a big ass fucking clunky keyboard for the Dreamcast, I remember.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There's a Japan only sequel that a lot of people scratching their heads cannot work out why it never came out.
Right.
In the West. Because the first one was really popular, apparently, and people want more. The Monster Hunter series in general.
Yeah.
Huge over there. I think, you know, increasingly more popularity over here in the last sort of few years.
World is definitely something where, like, a weird number of people who I wouldn't have expected to have gotten it have gone like, oh, I'm loving Monster Hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is strange.
To the extent that they're now... that. Version of it that came out on Switch, which was a port from the 3DS, that came out pretty early on in the Switch being out, is coming out soon.
Has come out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, saw a big...
what do you think of it?
I love it. Best game I've ever played.
So the Monster Hunter thing is sort of comparable to the Souls games thing in that they're animation timing-based combat games, which is not something that is... widely, you know, played in the West.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't until the Souls games, really.
Yeah. That's definitely...
End of anecdote.
But it's stuff that, again...
Was that an anecdote?
Yeah. It happened to me this month.
That influence, again, though, has been more and more pronounced in recent years with the like the Surge and stuff like that. Is again more Souls influenced, but then the Souls games were influenced by Monster Hunter.
Yep.
And the online stuff for the like the early PS2 online that it had as well, I think was a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's stuff like, you know, your Marios and your Zeldas and stuff, but, you know, that's pretty obvious, the influence and stuff there.
It's not ground we've covered in our Bandcamp episodes.
Yep.
Fighting games come out of Japan, basically, Street Fighter 2 and then, like, a whole bunch of other ones.
Sure.
And then your Mortal Kombat's and whatever over here.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, I guess that's all I can think of off the top of my head, but there's so much. Like, it's crazy how one country has influenced the entire landscape of this thing so much.
Totally. Yeah.
The idea that there's Western development and then Japanese, like hundreds and hundreds of millions of people in all these Western countries trying to make games.
Yeah.
And then Japan is like kind of a stronger influence than any of them.
It's basically the Hollywood of games.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because they'll just try anything. Like if you look into...
Those cunts will try anything.
Dude, it's crazy. Fucking eating a fucking raw fish.
Oh, imagine.
What are you doing?
Wrapped in seaweed to no end.
Oh, my God. What are you, a shark?
if you dig into, like, the weirdest, Japanese arcade games that you could find out there, I saw one today where it was like a... it's like a spanking machine. It's like got a little bottom that you like and stuff comes up on the screen. It's like, this person's been naughty.
Oh,
you
gotta
spank them on the buttocks.
Yeah, they hit it in the toilet for some reason. it looked like a big hole cut out in the wall. The aesthetic was really strange. Yeah.
But it's so... I think what it is like they will just try anything and then it's like maybe 10% of those ideas get filtered into the West and then go on to become, like we were saying, those trailblazing ideas that then so much Western stuff gets cribbed from.
Yeah, we could have had Spank Hero.
Japanese entertainment in general from an outsider's perspective seems to be more that way. Like it's a whole bunch of fucking Eric Andre shows over there where they're just trying the strangest thing they can think of.
Yeah.
And then with video games as well, they'll let the art style go wherever.
Yeah,
that's a big difference. So, like, so many games look similar and are trying to all be the big next thing, I guess, because whatever corporate involvement or whatever, or maybe that's just our preference over here is to have everything look like trees and stone and castles and bullshit.
Yeah, that's a good. I've never really thought of it in those terms, but I think that is, if you wanted to boil it down to exactly what I love so much about their culture, it's that it just feels like there is no limits to it. Like, even though. Same with anime, like a lot of their like and their comics and everything, like stylistically it looks all very similar.
Manga.
But they're just like the plots of stuff, you know what I mean? There's just a lot more further reaching than there is here where it's like, we can't really go too crazy. Like we gotta keep a bit of an eye.
Which so this may be naive because like maybe they are just.
But I reckon the Earth revolves not around the Sun, but the Sun around the Earth.
What's naive about that? Maybe it's because they started from a different point culturally, and even though there's globalization and we're all overlapping in the internet and shit, it's just that it seems like it's going in different and further places because, you know, they have a different Big Bang cultural starting off point. I don't know. Maybe we do sound naive. I don't know.
But then they'll be happy to have a whole bunch of difference between each other, like anime or whatever.
Sure.
That style is pretty universal. But then at the same time, they'll go really weird with it.
But then think about like Western cartoons now.
Yeah. Hanna-Barbera bullshit. Like it's still that stuff, but then like maybe a DreamWorks fucking snail with its eye up.
Well, like, I don't know. Adult Swim is incredibly diverse in its visual style.
Adventure Time and regular show and stuff like that.
That's what I was thinking.
There is a lot more art in the West now that is
even
less kind of appealing to a kind of lowest common denominator, like everyone wanting to like
outside of a mainstream sense. Yeah, I reckon there's a lot more of that here, maybe just because we're privy to it because we live over here, but like smaller things and like indie games, and I think Adult Swim and all those cartoons would be considered indie shows more than mainstream ones, which are all pretty similar Frozen knockoff kind of stuff. You like you look at the fucking like like I'm not particularly switched on to kids animations, what? But Hotel Transylvania 3, Madagascar, the Penguins Return.
But yep. Aren't they literally all the same creators?
They're the same company.
Yeah,
but it's like that. It's
I just think about like Cheese TV and afternoon cartoons. Like they're all different. Disney's all the same.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Rocko's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy.
They look exactly the same.
Well, no, they don't.
Not from each other, and not to Disney, or not to
Disney, but Nickelodeon. To each other.
Like, yeah, I think there's a lot of variety.
I guess there is.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I mean, all the episodes are the same style, but
yeah, I guess that's true. I guess I'm just I'm more immersed in it, so I take it for granted more.
Right. I do always wonder that about anime. Like, if like do Japanese people think that like. You know, The Simpsons and Ren and Stimpy look identical. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're Japanese and you're watching anime, like, if you've grown up around it and you are immersed in it,
yeah.
can you go, oh, yeah, of course, you know, Neon Genesis looks totally different to fucking, you know, Spirited Away or whatever.
Right.
Like, in character design.
Yeah. I think so. I think the answer's yes.
Yeah. Let's move on to just a small selection of games that have never made it to the West.
Mm-hmm.
There is one that we've talked about on this before called Say Ga Ga Ga, which came out on the Dreamcast in 2001. It is a game, it is an RPG where you are like the head of Sega or someone that works at Sega.
Yeah, a developer maybe or something, yeah.
And you have to create... Your character is trying to create a new game that is going to put... So Sega's in financial trouble. So it's just very real world of them going like, yeah, we're fucked and here's a game about it.
Like the game and just a financial report got mixed up into the same document. They're totally. Like, all right, I guess Sega's in trouble in this game.
Yeah, it is. It's like if bookstores made a book about how bookstores were going to go out of business.
You know how
like,
bookshops write all the books?
Well, yeah. I guess, yeah.
I'm sure there are books being stocked in bookstores about how print is dying and it must kill them to have to put it on the shelves.
Totally.
But yeah, so I think you have to travel around and like basically convince all these Sega characters to like be in a game.
Yeah, something like that.
Something fucking weird like that. Mm. But it sounds awesome.
Mm.
Like it sounds so funny.
It's bananas that it got made. Like it's such a unique sphere of entertainment where it's possible that this would get made.
Yeah.
Did you see in the topic?
Pre-30 Rock. Sure. I think post 30 Rock, they'd be like, aha, a game about a game.
Yeah. Totally.
Do 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 do.
In the category of great self burns.
Just going to do this under the rest of it.
Please. In the category of great self burns, did you see that WarioWare game that just came out a month ago on the 3DS? Yes.
I've been playing that.
In the original one of it, there's a character and he's in his bedroom and he's got a Virtual Boy on the shelf.
Yeah.
And in this new one, they've changed it to a Wii U.
Oh, very good.
That's great. That's very good.
Next time to update the clunker boys. At great expense, we got to re-render this whole thing and get a fucking Wii U in there.
A whole bunch of Nintendo, like, what does a Wii U even look like? Even I haven't seen one. I know all of the games because I've remade them.
Marvelous, which is
I thought you were just saying like,
great stuff, boys.
Marvelous, which is a game that came out on the SNES in 1996. It kind of, I think it's before A Link to the Past. It's a top-down RPG. I think it kind of, it's sort of seen as kicking off that style of RPG.
I've never even heard of it.
Three friends looking for treasure, and it has a few point-and-click elements to it, like more like a kind of PC. Kind of point-and-click game. It's got a darker tone than your typical Nintendo game. And it was made by, I'm going to butcher this, Eiji Onuma.
Oh, right.
So the guy who goes Zelda on to make all the Zeldas. Yeah,
okay.
So I think it was his first big thing. So, yeah, kind of that's something I'd love to see, you know, if we ever get any kind of virtual console or whatever ported over, just see, like, what, you know, this guy's, like, you know, sort of first big thing that he worked on. Because by all accounts, you can sort of see a bit of the DNA of like your Majora's Mask and kind of,
right,
you know,
that's
the
cool.
sort of like tones that he tends to work in.
It's his bottle rocket.
Yeah. Yes. It sounds fantastic.
Hey, wonderful. Fabulous.
You guys are real cunts. Police Nauts.
Yeah. This
is Kojima in 1994 for the 3DO, PC, PlayStation and Saturn. You play, it's a point and click adventure with some shooting aspects, you play as police astronauts.
Okay.
What are we going to call them, though? What would astronauts of space, I mean, police of space be called?
Astrocops.
That's kind of better.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, weird that this has never been, re-released, because, you know, people fucking love Kojima.
Yeah.
It's strange that this has never come out on anything.
There are definitely fan translations of it. Right. And probably the other ones.
All of these have fan translations. Yeah.
Fanslations.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Because Snatcher was...
I beg your pardon?
His one.
Hardly know
it. Oh, yes! He did it!
The... Like, I think spiritual prequel to this or whatever, like, they're both similar in that you're, like,
did he make
a detective.
This?
Yeah, he made Snatcher as well.
Right.
And then this as well. And they're both, anyway. I've never played either of them.
Right.
But Snatcher did come over to the West, and they're both very Kojima-ish in good ways and bad ways, in that, like, it's this weird story and like, unique things. And then also, if you fucking push the controller during a cutscene, someone's boobs will jiggle.
Oh, yes.
Like, they're both super Kojima-ish in that way.
And what about the bad things?
But, yeah, I've always, been interested in both of these, but never bothered.
Metal Wolf Chaos for the Xbox came out in 2004 in Japan. It's a Software game.
So crazy that there was an Xbox exclusive.
Mm. Yeah. You play as the US president, a descendant of Woodrow Wilson.
Great.
Piloting a giant mech. Your goal is to blow a lot of stuff up as you take back portions of the country that have attempted to secede. Sounds sick.
Yeah.
It's all in English as well. And the common theory is that around 2004, they just thought bringing it out in the US, the Iraq war and everything.
Right.
Had been very unpopular.
Right. Oh, well, now's the time to bring out a game about the US president going crazy and shooting people.
Yeah.
It is coming out over here now.
Is it really?
Yeah. They announced this at E3.
I didn't know this.
During one of the things, they're doing a version of that that's going to come out over in the West.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Right.
I'm not sure for what. I guess the Xbox One.
Probably, yeah.
But that is making its way to our shores.
Wow.
And maybe one of the most, certainly one of the most requested Japanese games to be ported in English, Mother 3 by Nintendo for the Game Boy Advance, the sequel to Mother 2, which is known in the West as Earthbound.
Yeah.
It was originally being developed as Earthbound 64, and it was going to use the disk drive for the 64, but then the disk drive flopped, so they ported it over to the GBA, which I think it means
could call it a floppy disk drive.
Hell yeah, dude.
All right.
What does that mean?
Just bear with me.
Now, you're going to touch this thing and it's going to feel as though it's not floppy, but inside, that's where the key comes to the name, all right? Come with me, folks.
There's heaps of fan translations out there. People want this so bad.
Every year coming up to E3.
That's a fake leak will have this on there. Yeah, there was one recently actually where it was like, there's going to be a Nintendo Direct on July 22. And that's what they're announcing. Mother 3.
So was Mother
3D remake.
Right. So was it 2D? Was it like
Earthbound?
It looks
like Earthbound, yeah.
Okay. GBA game. So, yeah, basically the same as a SNES game.
I think it's actually better that it's ended up on the GBA and got cancelled off the 64 because it's, you know, it's GBA is basically a little mini SNES. So it has a bit more of that kind of,
timeless
kind of look to it.
Right.
I love the style of Earthbound. Like, I started playing it. I should go back in and finish it someday, but I really loved it. I loved the weird feel of it, the weird little sense of humor and the style of it. I thought it was so visually, I think it's so charming. It's right in my wheelhouse. I'd love to see this get a local port, which, could happen. Who knows?
In
10 years. It'll be a launch title for a console that they put out.
Maybe when they bring the fucking, their re-releases of old games on a whatever virtual console equivalent.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, whatever is going on there with older games other than Wii U ports.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
Let's move on to this this list have here. This Famitsu list.
Good thing we really whipped through that previous stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because there is some there's some other Japanese games that haven't come over that, just like quickly to mention, there's a couple of Yakuza ones.
Oh yeah.
That always look cool.
That's as a franchise is much more popular.
Right,
in Japan,
but it's gotten really popular in the West. Like, they're bringing them all out on the PC over here and everything.
Yeah,
but
the common thing that you tend to see is that when I was reading up on it, they'll have a crack with the first one. There's a lot of sequels that never come out here, especially in the 90s where your budgets for having to market things were so extreme that, you know, you just had to make a certain amount of money back.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of changing a bit where... Well, I mean, there's still heaps of stuff that doesn't come out where they just don't have the resources to translate it or whatever. But
you can
release stuff on a smaller scale now and not have to spend so much money.
Yeah. After a certain amount of time, they just seem to, like, not give a fuck as well. Yeah. Like, these two Yakuza ones will probably never come out, but they're called, like, Kenshin and Ijin or something. I can't remember. But they're, like, feudal Japan Yakuza games, which sounds fucking awesome.
Oh, that would be sick.
To me, like, what a cool setting for that sort of a thing. There's, like... old adventure games that looked cool.
Yeah.
At the there's a fuckload, like the Advance Wars games that weren't the ones that came out over here.
Yeah.
There's like 50 Fire Emblem ones.
It is funny to think about there being a time like in the 90s where like the decision to not bring a game over would have just been like basically one or two people. Like sitting in it. Like now there's enough, if enough people are like, hey, yeah, fucking bring this out, you know, like companies can listen through social media and stuff. Mm. But the idea of just like, 2 40-year-olds in a boardroom going, ah, I don't reckon they're going to go for it. Like, just that means that a game just never comes out in the West. Yeah. It's like pretty funny. Mm.
It's so strange because like with like translating isn't an easy thing because a lot of people misunderstand it and like, why don't they just do it?
Yeah.
Just put it through Google fucking Translate. But like the whole thing is you've got to get the intent of the message across.
Yeah.
And then you've got with those older games as well, a character limit that you have to fit it into.
Yes.
And all that sort of shit. It seems like a fucking hard job.
Totally. Yeah.
And then the cultural translations as well.
And
the reference points, all that stuff.
They fuck that stuff up so often.
Mm. Yeah.
Like Yakuza 3 is a big one where they took out a bunch of stuff like because they went, oh, it's a Japanese culture thing. People in the West won't get it. It's like, cunt, I'm playing a game about being a Japanese fucking criminal.
Yeah.
Let me be in Japan.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you need to leave the country. I'm not telling you again.
Like the Mother 3 one is weird because like in a lot of these cases, like, there's like people have already done it. Like they could just go through and a team of people did it and it must be like good.
Mm.
Like just buy that, just fling them some money and like buy that off them. Anyway, whatever. Okay, so yeah, let's start with, we're gonna sort of skim through the bottom part of the list.
Yeah, the bottom 80.
Go through, 20, the top 20, one by one. Mm. So number 98, The Witcher 3, which I think apart from that other one, Wizardry, these are the only two non-Japanese games on this list.
Maybe Sonic Unleashed, which, not to get That's ahead Japanese. Of ourselves. Is it really?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Because I think some of the Sonic games are American.
They farm them too. Yeah. No, this one, I looked this one up. This was developed in Japan.
Fuck. Well, yeah. So that'll come up later because it's a weird fucking inclusion. But yeah, The Witcher 3 is one of the, if not only, very very few. If we've missed some Western games, and like it's so strange that it's this one.
Yeah.
It's one of the most like intricate and very Western RPG style RPGs.
It takes like so much from Western. Depictions of medieval life.
Yeah.
And very much like the fiction surrounding that stuff.
And I guess it's a European game. I don't know if that's Western Polish, but it is totally like you said, like super, super, I guess fantasy stuff over there. I don't know how it translates, like Lord of the Rings style castles and bullshit fantasy.
Mm.
I don't know how that stuff is received in Japan.
I mean, I guess the fact that it is just, at its core an RPG is probably... Like, it would be weirder if it was something like... Fuck. Okay, now I can't think of an...
Killzone.
Yeah.
It's this,
like... Doom or something.
Western-style open world game too, which don't appear on this list either. All the GTAs and those typical ones
you
get on
our list.
Sure, there's
no Red Dead Redemption.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
Like, no fucking Watch Dogs. There shouldn't be Watch Dogs, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
And
well, culturally, probably the language of that doesn't really translate as well into Japanese.
You know
maybe
what?
It's a bit about this being a bit more... Because it's all kind of dragons and that sort of shit, isn't it?
Yeah, dragons and griffins and harpies.
Yeah.
Like, it's classic Western mythology stuff.
I think this
but
had
they use a lot of that stuff in their big RPGs.
That's true.
So
I think this had a very good Japanese translation too.
Right.
I remember watching like a documentary about The Witcher. You fucking nerds!
And, wow.
They translate them all in-house at great expense,
right?
I believe. And so that might be part of it is that like all your Skyrims and whatever just aren't as easy to play in Japan.
Right.
So The Witcher 3 is the one that broke through possibly.
Yeah, maybe. Number 85... Sonic Unleashed, as we just said. Now, universally, in an overcrowded field, seen as perhaps the worst Sonic game that's ever been made.
Definitely up there. I think the 2006 one, as we would have explored on our Bandcamp episode, which you can download now at the internet.
Filthycasuals.com.au.
It'll be there.
Yep.
But, it's a dog shit game.
It's the one where you turn into a werewolf.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
Who voted for this?
Heaps of people.
Fucking heaps of people must have, yeah.
Like, if it just scraped in at number 100, I would think that was weird. But it's, like, it's 15 up the list.
It shouldn't be in the top 1,500.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
That would be the one that gets left off.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Sonic games on this list, too. Like, more than there would be over here.
Yeah.
To the point where there's two instances of Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah. Mm. Stop jumping ahead.
Well, we're going all over the place, man.
We're not.
Dude,
you
I'm
are.
Unleashed. I voted for this game.
He's in werewolf mode.
Oh, Dicko no. Unzipped.
This list here would be, Sonic 1 would be on. Maybe 2. Maybe Sonic 1 and 2 would be on there.
Sure.
But that would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real weird for Unleashed to be A on it and B so high, but I don't know. Maybe it invalidates this entire list and Japanese culture in general.
I wouldn't have said that.
I'd love it if they, for their 1500th issue and in honor of them doing this countdown in the issue, they just put Sonic Unleashed on the cover. Here's number 85. What else is in the list? Well, open the pages and find out, guys.
I guess the whole myth of a werewolf is a pretty Western thing. Right? I think that originated in like Germany or something.
I think you're right. I also think it probably has equivalents in Japan.
So what if it doesn't and this is your first exposure to the concept of a werewolf and you go like, oh, wow, that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
and that's what propelled it to this point.
The analogy of a werewolf applying to human life and the passions and the emotions you express
this is
sometimes.
Crazy deep.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God, it's about being on your period. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. It's like if Dracula Untold was the first time you'd seen the Dracula myth.
You mean Dracula Dead and Loving It? The Leslie Nielsen?
Yes. Yeah. Someone watching that and doesn't know what a vampire is.
Oh, yeah.
And still genuinely thought. Scared by it. Yeah. Like, why does he keep making jokes? This is scary stuff, guys. Number 80, Kirby's Air Ride, which I think is the 64?
GameCube.
Right.
Racing game with Kirby characters. Never played it. I don't think it's remembered as being particularly bad. I think it's just very forgettable.
I think it's also I remember playing this a little bit.
Right.
I think. And I remember hating it.
Right.
Because you use like one button and it was just kind of accelerate or not. And you kind of bounced around this court. And I remember it being stupid.
Right.
And again, why, like of all, Kirby's cool. There's some cool Kirby games.
Yeah. Right.
I think there are one or two more on them. But that being on there is bizarre.
It's
That's
very strange.
So strange.
Yeah, you can play as Kirby, King Dedede and other.
Meta Knight. I barely know her.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Meta Knight.
But yeah, just this thing of what Sonic and Kirby must be over there that these can hit. And like, what is the difference between how fucking poorly these were appreciated over here and how clearly they...
At what point is this racist? Like us going through the voting habits of an entire nation just being like, fucking idiots, don't they know this is bad? Why do they like this? What do you sound like, cunts?
Yeah,
right
they
now?
Can like we also, if they come to this country though, they've got to choose a different number 80. That's all I'm saying.
It's got to be Crash Bandicoot at number one.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to rip apart the top 20 as well.
WWF fucking Heat, no stars, fuck fight.
Yeah.
That's the best game.
Nitro Boys.
So Wizardry is in at number 72.
Yeah, we like that one because it's a Western game.
It's placated us.
But that one as well, completely forgotten over here.
Yes, very strange. Very strange choice.
But still hangs around there. The same as MAG, which was at number 78.
Mm.
Massive action game, it stood for.
Yep.
And it was like the first time where it was like, there's 64 players or however many it was.
I think
it was 256 even. But it was a lot,
it
was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it flopped over here because it was like, oh, I guess there's a lot of players somewhere else, but
yeah.
I'm with 10.
Or I'm with 60 and we're all running into each other and don't know where we're going.
Yeah, I don't think it worked well. And again, 78 over there, but maybe it's because the shooter wasn't such a big thing over there, so it wasn't an also-ran shooter like it was over here.
Right.
Well, we should say this list, like, God, huge proportion of RPGs.
Yes.
Mostly RPGs, yeah, I guess you could say.
We're skipping over, like, most of the Dragon Quest games.
I think nearly every Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy game is on there. So that's like... That's like 76 right there.
Yeah, like video games, Final Fantasies 1 through 15 and Sonic Unleashed. That's my shit.
But like, oh, yeah, we have skipped like Shadow of the Colossus, Ico. All the Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Kingdom Hearts as well, obviously.
So at number 29, you have Sonic Adventure 2. Earlier down the list at number 57, you have Sonic Adventure 2 Battle.
Which is the expanded version of that game.
Yeah, I think it just had multiplayer. It just had some extra mode. Yeah, it was the same game.
And for that to be lower in the list as well, like for them to go, when they added all that shit on and it didn't affect the base game, it was worse.
Now, but still good.
Yeah, still one of the best 100 games that's ever existed.
Yeah. I think we got to let the Japanese public off the hook on this one. Mm. This is down to Famitsu. This is down to the editing staff at Matt. The usual gang of idiots, as they refer to themselves in a Famitsu.
It should be at number 14 and a combination of both of
them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think actually you'll find 57 plus 29 is actually
minus
70, 86.
Yeah, but you're minus
it. Should be
it.
At number 86.
But it's not going back in the...
It should be at number 86, guys.
I know that you're joking around, but this is making me furious.
Then it'd be
100
right,
is not the best one.
You're adding up the total votes that they each got.
It'd be right before Sonic Unleashed as well. That'd be some nice little cemetery there. They'd be next to each other.
No, it wouldn't, because they'd have done a worse job. A lot more love for... but people who are younger than us... Who were younger when...
Whippersnappers.
Whippersnappers.
Yeah.
Like Sonic Adventure 2 in particular, a lot more than people around our age do.
Right.
It's a younger person thing.
I don't mind.
It's a young man's game.
I don't mind one of them being on there. It's just bizarre
Yeah.
The same, like Metal Gear Solid, which you would assume is a massive thing over in Japan.
Yeah. It's up in the, 60s, 70s?
There's two instances of it at 71 and 70 with 5 and 3 respectively.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which... 3 is my favorite one, but 1, 2, 4, like all the ones that show up on lists over here, again, not really as big of a factor over there.
At number 33, Super Mario Brothers. Not surprising that it's on the list. The reason we bring it up is because it is the only Mario game on the entire list.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
Isn't that bonkers?
Yeah.
It's the most influential piece of Japanese culture in terms of its influence on the West, full stop.
Yeah.
And it's only the original game in this list.
I bet da-da-da-da-da-da is the most universal piece of Japanese creative music.
Yeah, maybe, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in Japan, the most known Western one would be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. That's so strange. Even Mario 64 not being on there. I mean...
Mm. Like, by law of averages, surely more than one should have shown up with how many fucking Mario games there are.
No Mario Kart? Am I crazy in... No, saying no Mario Kart.
It's really bizarre that none of the others have shown up.
Mm.
All right. Well, do we want to get into the top 20?
I think so. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. I hope I pronounced this one correctly, but at number 20, Final Fantasy Z. XI.
Oh,
I think it's like a Chinese name, so that's weird.
It's pronounced Chi.
This is the multiplayer one.
It is, right. Yeah.
11, yeah.
It's the one where they went, oh, we've just made 10, a great one.
Yeah.
Let's totally change what it is.
Well, they were working on this one and they were going to call it like Final Fantasy Online or something. And then someone came in and went, no, 11. Call it 11. Yeah. And they were like, no, because it's a separate thing. They're like, we're going to sell more.
Yeah.
Call it 11.
Yeah.
Which is probably smart.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was pretty big over here as well.
Yes.
11.
Yeah.
The same with all these massively multiplayer games. You're either in or you're completely out.
And it was around the same time as WoW? Like it feels like it was, that
I
era.
I think like a little earlier, but comparable. Mm. And it was harder to get on this one because there was a weird like Sony Play Online weird fucking separate thing you had to set up.
Right.
You had to have a hard drive for the PS2 if you played that version, which is separate. And I think it's still fucking going.
Yeah.
Really?
Like 16 years later. And I feel like I read something that they're releasing a mobile version soon.
Right. Right.
So this one's, yeah, still going. I'm not surprised that this is as high as it is because I think it's, yeah, massive over there and big over here too.
Totally. It makes sense. Like for it's like the Japanese MMORPG.
Yeah, exactly. This yeah. is exactly. This is World of Warcraft showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Right.
At number 19, Suikoden 2. You guys got anything on this?
This is the sequel to that Phil Collins song, right?
The way Tommy pronounced it.
Suikoden. Suikoden, I think it is.
No, okay. Surely it's Suikoden.
I think it's Suikoden. I feel like I've heard it said out loud.
Well, by a Japanese person? Because yeah. I don't think they say sui in Japan.
Yeah, they do. How do you call a pig in Japan? Sui.
God.
Oh. Suikoden. Nah. It's Suikoden. I'm positive of it.
Okay. I look forward to
Google and hit the little mic. What do you call it? Speaker button.
Google will not pronounce it.
Make
correctly.
Google say.
Hang on, hang on. I think I can do this.
How?
Suikoden. There it went.
Su.
Hang on.
Suikoden.
I know how to spell it, can't.
You don't know how to fucking say it, so I could assume you don't know how to spell it.
How God, pronounced right. Suikoden?
Shut up. Hang on. Oh, what? Now it's gone. Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Did you hear that shit?
Was that Google?
That was Wikipedia, the Wikipedia thing of the game.
There you go.
Citation needed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, apparently it is Suikoden.
Yeah. I've never played one of them.
Yeah, yeah, we like could have looked up what kind of game it yeah. is.
It's an RPG.
There's like 100 recruitable characters in it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
They definitely came out over here too.
Yeah.
They're all not something that was anywhere near as big over here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 18, Xenoblade Chronicles.
The Wii one?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah,
I guess
right.
So, yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, popular game over there.
Yeah.
I like the second one. I keep meaning to go back in on it, but yeah, I liked the few hours I was playing of it. Just gonna get more time to devote to it.
I don't think the art style quite hits me.
Yeah, I wasn't really into it either.
It's a little too children's
cutesy.
Cartoon
yeah.
cutesy for me, yeah.
And it does there's something about it that just doesn't have a like enough of a thing. I don't know. It doesn't really have an identity in a strange way.
I completely agree. Yeah.
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 But it seemed like an okay game. Very complicated.
Yeah. Yep. Super complicated. Number 17, Okami, which I'll be playing that remaster right now. Literally right now.
What do you think of it?
Whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Love it. yeah. Popular game. Popular legacy and everything. It's been around for a little while, but yeah, surprising to see it ranked so high on a list of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
I kind of would have obviously mistakenly assumed that it was maybe one of those ones that was more popular over here than there.
Yes.
Maybe,
yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
16, Persona 4 Golden.
Now, people say, a lot of people say this is their favorite game of all time. Yeah, apparently, right. This is like if we'd played this before 5, I don't think we'd like 5 as much as we do, apparently.
Yeah. This was the Vita one, though.
Yes.
So nobody in the West has played this one.
Yeah.
Because it was on the Vita. But nothing but praise. And I'm sure that we would love this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 15, Otoka D'Or. I have no idea. I tried to Google and I could not find out what this was.
Right.
I couldn't find any accurate information about what this was.
How do you spell it?
It looks French. It looks like a perfume name. Otoka, like O-T-O-C-A, then D-O-R.
O-T-O-C-A?
That, like D apostrophe O-R.
Okay. O-T-O-K-A. I don't know why I'm Googling it as well, as though my Google will be different.
Yeah.
D-O-R.
Well, you want the smug satisfaction of being able to.
Suikoden.
Yeah. I did see some people say
Otoka doll. Oh, okay.
That's what came up for me.
Is it this doll one?
Doll. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
This is something about like a... Yeah, anime dolls.
Maybe it's something to do with that. I don't know. We have no way of finding out. Without Google, we're powerless. Number 14, Yakuza 0.
Which is the one that came out this year?
Yeah, is that the
earlier
one you've been
playing?
Earlier
this year? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or was it late last year?
It would be
year?
2 years ago in Japan as well, because it would have been out for a fair while before it came out over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It did not play like a brand new game.
Right.
I will say, yeah.
Because I think 6 is the most recent one.
Which I've also played, yeah.
And Yeah, Zero would have been the one before. So
I think I got some weird bundle where I bought Zero and Six came for free, but it was preloaded and I got it when it came out.
Yeah, right.
It was like a twofer thing.
That's what makes it one of the best games of all time, baby. Yeah. Value.
But I can totally understand this. Apparently, Yakuza Zero is like... mixes all of the previous ones together. It's a prequel. It's the newest 80s, graphical style.
That 80s nostalgia button.
Yep. And it's cool and fun and silly and...
like Japanese Vice City.
Yeah, totally. It's exactly that.
Sick.
Yeah.
Number 13, Hatsune Miku Project Diva Future Tone.
A Japanese game, you say?
Now, this is a virtual pop idol. Hatsune
right.
Miku.
Yeah. Right.
She's all computer generated and the singing and everything, and people go nuts for her over there.
Right.
Big deal where like Domino's had a thing where you'd like hold your phone up to your Domino's box and she'd be dancing on your box.
Oh, that AR shit. That's yeah, great. Awesome.
Like Hatsune Miku's a big deal over there. The equivalent of like Crazy Frog.
Right.
Sick.
Right.
Sick.
We got to get her on the show, Ben.
All right. We'll go Vox Popper.
Shenmue 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sequel to Shenmue.
Yep. Mm.
Very dry, boring games in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I never played them.
Yeah, me either.
And 3 is the one that's coming out
soonish.
And there's remasters of 1 and 2 coming out as well.
Right.
So we can get the chance to play them, but I don't think they'd hold up well. I remember. So
was this samurai era sort of combat RPG or what was it?
Set in the 80s. This one's in Hong Kong, the second one.
Right.
So you're like looking for the guy who killed your dad, and it was meant to be 5 of them. The first one's in 80s Japan.
Yeah.
The second one was on the Xbox over here and you're in Hong Kong and it just was slow and dull.
Okay, right.
From memory. So.
Right.
Number 11, Danganronpa. Did I say that right? You know what
they
are. They're visual novels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suikoden.
A style of game we just don't get over here as well, really.
Yeah.
I guess like adventure games are the closest thing, and there's some more stuff with like indie games that's similar.
Telltale games.
Probably the same.
And we get the Japanese ones over here.
Yeah.
Phoenix Wright would have been my first kind of experience this type of thing. Yep.
Weirdly, my first experience was that, what was it called? The book club one that we played?
Doki Doki Panic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
I think Danganronpa is similar, like Battle Royale is in the movie thing, where it's like a high school where all the students have to kill each other or something.
Yeah, there's some weird. You go to classes and then you get to choose how you spend your free time.
And you're meant to murder people in
some
way.
Before people tweet or message us, Doki Doki Panic was Super Mario 2. Doki Doki Literature Club was the game.
Yes. I think I got panic in there because it made me very, very distressed to the point where I couldn't finish it.
Yes.
I was thinking of Okie Doke.
I was thinking of Oshkosh B'gosh.
Nice.
Number 10.
Oh, 10.
Shenmue 1.
Yep.
Number 9, Sakura Wars.
I don't know what this is.
Don't know.
Another RPG, I think.
I remember a Japanese cartoon called Cardcaptor Sakura.
Oh, yeah.
And she captured cards.
I played Drug Wars in high school.
It's probably some kind of combination.
Yeah.
I marched against the American war in Iraq in 2004.
That's very brave of you.
Thanks, man.
Star Wars is a little movie franchise that I'm a fan of.
I marched against the war they wanted to start against Sakura Cardcaptor.
I have genital warts.
I have them on my sack.
Number 8, Chrono Trigger.
We talked
about that already.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 7, Danganronpa 3, Killing Harmony.
Mm.
Number 6, Final Fantasy 7.
Oh, yeah.
You heard of this game,
no,
Ben?
No, I have not.
Number 6 is still, like, it's funny how that one is the one that in both hemispheres or whatever...
It's
the big breakthrough one.
You're right. Yep. This is like the first. If you were to go through and match up the list in the West, that's probably the one that where you'd get the closest to them being like roughly around the same place.
Totally. Wildly divergent from this point on.
Sakura Wars would probably be up there.
Well, this next one is probably the same as well. That's number 5, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Those are really the only two I can think of that would really... would match up on a Western list.
Yeah,
well.
I think that's totally fair.
And their positions in the list.
From the top 20 onwards, certainly, yeah.
To the top with a bullet as well, Breath of the Wild. And interestingly, like we were saying before with The Witcher 3, less of the open world style gameplay over here. So getting Breath of the Wild when you've had less exposure to that style of game would have been like, holy fucking
shit.
Good point.
Yeah,
look at this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, this was September last year, so that had come out in March. So yeah, I mean there maybe is something to be said for there being a bit of new car smell, but I mean it is also just a great game. So
that'd be up around there for me now.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, agreed.
Number four, Nier Automata.
That is interesting.
It's a fucking good game.
Yeah.
It's sick. When you like
It's not like a mainstream game.
No, I guess not. But if you've got a culture where like Evangelion was big in the fucking 90s, yeah. That shit was weird as hell.
Sure,
in
it's almost
a similar way to this.
It's like a self-aware deconstruction of that kind of thing.
Totally, like this, yeah. That like kind of odd like philosophical text mixed with fighting robots thing has been over there for a lot longer. So I think it's easier to digest that sort of a game.
That's true. And this is, yeah, like I said, like a smart deconstruction of what that is itself, which was originally a much more thoughtful thing than we would have had in similar Western equivalents.
Yeah.
I've never seen Neon Genesis and I'm going to try and watch it all before I go to Japan.
Well, you don't have enough time.
I think there's three or four different versions of it now.
There's
and
one
I think
series.
Each is quite short. But there's a lot of, and then there's like three movies.
Yeah.
I don't know which is the best version to watch these days.
I want to. Yeah. I'm going to start with the series, which is 25 eps. I can do that. I go in like 3 weeks.
Oh,
I can
okay.
do that.
All right. I don't believe you can.
I mean, I probably won't.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, 3 weeks. If I just watch an episode a night,
will you?
No, I'm saying I won't. I'm not saying I will.
Then
but I'm
pay up.
I could.
Pay
I'm
up.
I can. Pay up. just one for the three of us there.
Yeah. But yeah, Nier Automata. Yeah, sure. Like, if this was like a critics list of games,
yeah.
It would make more sense to me. But yeah.
For it to hit number four with a popular vote is crazy.
Especially here, I mean, it was pretty niche here. Mm. Kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people. But yeah, obviously they're culturally much bigger touchstones.
Because Nier as well, the first Nier was in this list somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which would never happen over here.
Yeah.
Okay, this is wild stuff. Number three, Splatoon.
It is wild.
That is
holy fuck.
Insane.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
I like Splatoon a lot, but fuck, man, that is...
It's honestly...
I knew it was popular over there, but to that extent, that's genuinely... I had no idea.
Again, it's like Call of Duty Modern Warfare being in there for a Western list.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, like Breath of the Wild and The Witcher not having that open world shit.
Yeah.
If you've not had online shooters to the same degree as we have...
Mm.
I guess, yeah, this does replace fucking Counter-Strike or whatever.
Yes,
being
yeah. sure, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, that does make it make more sense, but still, like...
Even, like, that's the thing, in the pantheon of online shooters, it's not a great one.
No.
It's just a charming, easy one.
And maybe it's an easier one to get into first if you don't really have experience with it.
But I think there's a lot to be said, too, for, like, the kind of style of it, which is all very, like, you know, the clothes that you can upgrade, you know, buy and equip yourself with and all that kind of... The kind of the fashion and the music and stuff, like, the whole tone of it artistically, I think, is probably a big part of getting that over the line as well.
Well, yep. There's...
It's very tapped into what people like.
It's not like a shooter. Like, you don't kill people.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
I think there are... Other than Mag, there aren't any first-person shooters on this list.
Yeah. And there's, like, most of the violence is stylized or cartoonish. Yeah.
Why the fuck is Mag on there?
That's very strange.
Number two, Dragon Quest III.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that...
What would that be? That'd be the SNES?
I think that's still the NES.
Right.
I think the first three were like a trilogy.
Right.
And this one was like set before the first two. And it was that thing where like in the first two they were going like, man, that guy, let's call him Poochie,
sure.
He was so good back in the day. Man, wish we could have seen him. Like Metal Gear Solid 3 where they're like, fucking big boss. He was always a dude, big boss. And then in 3 you go and you play as big boss.
Right.
I think this is that for Dragon Quest.
Oh, right.
Cool.
That's cool. Number one, Persona 5.
That's
crazy. So I guess Persona 4 Golden wouldn't be our number, like people over there like Persona 5 more than 4.
Yeah.
Because over here, it was like people going, Persona 4 Golden is actually still the best one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Fuck, Persona 5 is good.
It's great.
That's what I find interesting about this is like, yeah, just it maybe it speaks more to like the cultural cringe of being an Australian, but like what I love about Persona 5 is like, yeah, that it feels like the feel of being in Japan and the way that that's represented, the way that Tokyo is represented and all the little, you know, the food that you eat is like all the Japanese treats and stuff. That resonates with me because I'm, you know, I'm not there. It's somewhere that I've visited.
On holiday where you had a great time.
Yeah, like that just having this representation, that'd be like us voting a fucking AFL game as like the best game that's ever been made. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to me to have like, for a game kind of like about your city to be like, well, this is the best thing that's ever been made.
I guess people who lived in New York like GTA 3.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm saying that probably speaks more to like the identity of being an Australian where we're just like, we have nothing.
Totally. Well, we don't have a game this good set in Melbourne. So
Underbelly, the video game.
But even art, like movies and stuff, there's some Australian movies that I think are great, but there's none that I would put in my top 10.
Let alone number one, by a landslide too. Because in the top 10, they've got like the number of people who voted or whatever.
It was 600 and something to like 800 and something between... Two and one. And every other one is like 50 to 100.
Persona 5, fucking awesome game.
Yeah.
Like imagine even like,
it's so Japanese as well.
Yeah. And imagine that style of game, just like a linear single player thing, being a popular vote number one over here. That's a big difference. Also, something that just struck me is, you know how they're always saying about Japan, like, oh, it's all shifting to mobile phones, everyone's just in their mobile phones, that's the only place they play games. None of them are mobile games.
Maybe they weren't eligible though.
Oh yeah.
Maybe Famitsu doesn't fuck with them.
I guess that's how fucking Mag got on there.
It's so weird. It's a good point that, well, yeah, that is weird about Mag.
I can't get over it. Sorry.
It's like everyone was like, the story of this is great. The gameplay of this is great. The art style. Like I know I'm just saying it's a great game, but for all of that to combine, to be culturally spot on and to just be number one by a landslide is huge.
And it's one of those ones, Persona 5, like Breath of the Wild and like some of those others in the top, where even though they nail every element of it, it has some other thing on top of that that is like undefinable.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that I'm saying earlier about like the whole, you know, games and the kind of cultural force that they are over there is like, so for that to be that popular, imagine like everyone you know who plays games or has any interest in them whatsoever, that being the game that they're... You know what I mean?
Yeah, Persona 5 is Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, there's pretty much like... The only two I know who have even played... I think maybe Dave Callan's played it.
Right. Yeah.
My friend Vicky has.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Vicky loves it, yeah.
Yeah. But that's it.
She's like, also a weeb like us.
There's only like 4 people I can talk to about that game, whereas like
my brother played it. Whereas
something like when Breath of the Wild, you know, dropped, and then you saw a lot of people kind of get a switch off the back of that of like, okay, I gotta go in on this. It's like, it feels like that's a game that a lot of people played. Odyssey was kind of a similar thing, or just even your GTAs and whatever.
God of War is a big one, yeah.
But Persona 5 being that ubiquitous, where it's just like you could talk to anyone about it is pretty interesting. And for it to be a thing where it is very linear and there's not a lot you can go.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Which way did you go? Like, you know,
it's like a 100-hour-long movie that everyone loved.
Yeah.
Like, that is such an achievement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you, Persona 5. You're officially better than Hatsune Miku, Diva Project F.
Yes.
And Suwakadin.
All right, guys. That is it for our Japanese romp of an episode.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. Let us know. We're both in Japan pretty much now.
Yep.
If you know of any good Japanese arcade games and shit that you think we should check out, let us know on the socials or via email, and we will do our best to, go play them and report back.
We'll be in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going all over, but
yeah. Well, at this point, we'll be in Tokyo. I'll be in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I'm in the UK. If you know any UK arcade games I should play, Banter Simulator.
Very good.
Filthycasuals.com.au for links to our premium Bandcamp episodes, our Patreon where you can subscribe and get extra content that way, our social media and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
sayonara.
Great.
The only easy one that I've done.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.